I'm speaking today with Nadine Flores, who works for the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department and is the State Health Insurance Assistant Program Coordinator for Northeastern New Mexico. She's here to talk about resources for the aging and disabled in New Mexico. Also joining us is Stan Cooper, a volunteer with the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, both of you.
Good morning.
So, Stan, you were telling me some really interesting statistics the other day that by 2030, the number of people over 65 will grow from 35 million to 70 million, and that New Mexico is the fourth fastest growing elder population in the nation.
And that's correct. It's a huge growth of the baby boomers are turning 65 every few seconds, and it's a huge growth. And, I think we have to get ready for that tsunami of people turning 65 to meet their needs in the future.
So, Nadine, is New Mexico ready for this? And what kind of programs do we have for the aging population?
Well, we do a lot with Medicare. We also do a lot with Medicaid. And there are some changes with the Centennial Care and the Affordable Care Act. So, starting October 1st, there will be a change and different things that we're still working on. But we're going to handle it to the best of our ability.
So what are some of the biggest challenges facing our aging population here?
Pretty much lack of resources in regards to the funding. So sometimes people don't have their medications. They're not able to afford their medications. They don't have enough money for food, things like that. So that's where the Resource Center comes into play, is that we have the MedBank program, which assists with the medications. And then we also have the paperwork to help them qualify for low-income subsidies, such as Medicare Savings Program. So that helps individuals with their deductibles, co-payments. And we also have the extra help through Social Security, which helps people pay for some of their prescriptions. So those are some of the main ones.
And is there a resource place that people can go, they can call? You have a website, that I think the nmresourcedirectory.org?
Yes, that is the resource directory, but the main number that we do have, and this is throughout New Mexico, it's 1-800-432-2080. So anytime somebody calls in, they would be directed to a benefits counselor who can assist them over the phone. We also have SHIP coordinators, which is a State Health Insurance Assistance Program coordinator like myself, that we're situated throughout all of New Mexico. So if people want to meet with somebody like in a senior center, you just have to call the resource center, find out where the next SHIP coordinator is going to be, and they can do a one-on-one there. And we also do one-on-ones at the resource center here in Santa Fe. So if somebody's in the area and would like to come in and have a meeting with a counselor there, they can set that up as well.
Now, the big assumption here is that people have transportation, and I think one of the biggest difficulties for aging people really across the nation is that they cannot travel or they need somebody to take them where they go, and especially a place like New Mexico that's so spread out.
Yeah, that is a big issue, and here in Santa Fe, I think every community has senior programs, and a lot of the vans from the senior centers will take people to the doctor or shopping sometimes. But in Santa Fe, there's a Santa Fe Ride program. So if you're disabled, it's $2 one way each way, $5 if you're 60 and older, regardless of income. So there are some other options for people to get around. But transportation is huge. In northern New Mexico, we have the North Central Regional Transit District, the blue buses that move people around for free between Taos and Santa Fe, or Espanola and Santa Fe, to see the doctor. Now, dial a ride, which is you call a day ahead and get a ride. I think they do charge for some of that, but transportation is a big issue.
And let's talk about some of the other ones. You hear a lot of really horrible things about elder abuse.
Yes, we do have the Adult Protective Services intake line at the Resource Center. So if people are suspected of abusing, neglecting, or exploiting someone, they can call. Someone can call in, and it's what they do there is they do the report. Okay, so it generates out of Santa Fe, but they will send it out to the respective county. So, for instance, if it's in Santa Fe, they will send it to Santa Fe County. They'll handle it there. If it's in Las Vegas, it would go to San Miguel County, and San Miguel County will handle it. So pretty much all people have to do is call the resource center, and they can report it as long as they have a name, some good demographic information, They just have to have the, you know, situation reported, and then from there, they'll send it out. The main thing, though, with that is that people don't have to give their name. And sometimes people are afraid of that because they say, oh, no, once they find out I report it, then that's going to be, you know, retaliation. So people can remain anonymous for this. They do not have to give their name as long as they have a good story. Even if they don't have the exact address, if they can say it's on this area with this blue house, just some really, really good information, that would be good enough to...
I mean, it's so hard for older people. I think that abuse in general is underreported kind of across the field, but there's a vulnerability getting old. I mean, getting old in this country is not something I'm looking forward to. I was looking through a lot of these statistics and seeing that in this area, New Mexico is not the worst off, which is shocking because we're the worst off in so many other areas. And I wondered if there was something about the community orientation of perhaps Hispanic culture here and Native culture that kind of brings people together.
Yes, I think a lot of times people just take care of each other. You know, they kind of, everybody's kind of like family. I know I work a lot in senior centers, and the senior centers are really, really helpful with their community and with the people that do attend. Is they kind of just make sure that they have their food and that they're getting their services, and if not, they know where to turn. You know, so oftentimes they'll call us and we can step in. But I do find that people do take care of each other. However, sometimes people don't want to be nosy, or they don't want to get involved, and then that's where these people fall through the cracks. So that's why we make it known that please report anything. It could even be something as simple as self-neglect. Maybe somebody is not able to take care of themselves, they're not taking their medications, or maybe they don't have air conditioning, you know, in this hot weather. So you can call in and report something like that. Nobody gets in trouble. It just falls under self-neglect. If Adult Protective Services step in, then they can provide the resources just to ensure that somebody, you know, gets what they need.
And right now, I think the percentage is 13.2% of our population,
right,
about is above 65, and that is expected to grow to 26.4%.
That's right. New Mexico will be the fourth largest percentage of 65 older in the country by 2030.
So this is an enormous jump. Do you know what that means in terms of numbers and where geographically they might be concentrated?
No, I don't. Yeah, there are lots of people moving into New Mexico because of the climate. You know,
right,
they want to retire. You meet people when I'm down in Las Cruces or from the Midwest who retired to the sun, and you know, in the Southwest.
Though we have had harsh winters in the
past.
What are they thinking?
Well, that's the southern part of the state, not the northern part.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I think it's, you know, the climate. There's more sun days than most states have, and... the climate's good. And as you mentioned earlier, I think the New Mexico legislature 20, 30 years ago, as Nadine said and you said, you know, they want to take care of each other and their relatives. It's high in the Hispanic culture to take care of mom, dad, or aunt. And so they put more money in state dollars into aging programs to augment the federal dollars out of the Older Americans Act. And I don't think every state does that, so we're fortunate for that.
Well, that's something we should note because we don't often get to, do we? But speaking of federal cuts, I think we have to mention sequester cuts. And this is massive across the country. It'll total about $1.2 trillion in cuts through fiscal year 2021. This year there's a 5.3% cut, totaling $85 billion. And a lot of this cut is impacting food programs. Now let's talk about food insecurity for older people.
Well, one out of eight older Americans, older adults, have food insecurity. That means they're not sure where their next meal is coming from. But you can call the Resource Center. There are a number of food banks here in Santa Fe that help people. One of them helps 3 or 4 days a week, another one 2 days a week. So there are a lot of efforts going on to help with that problem, but it's kind of astonishing to know that one out of eight senior citizens are concerned where their next meal is coming from.
I think the National Meal on Wheels even puts it at one in seven is wondering about the next meal. They say 40% eliminating staff positions, 50% reducing the number of seniors being served, about 70% cutting, service programs that didn't have waiting lists are now having enormous waiting lists, so they have to decide which older person gets a meal and which doesn't. Is this happening in New Mexico as well?
Yes, it does happen. But like Stan mentioned, there are the food pantries, so we do volunteer for those on a regular basis. Stan has actually organized all of that. So it does happen. I don't have the statistics on that, but it is something that we must not ignore. And that's why what we try to do is whatever paperwork, if it's food stamps, things like that, we try to assist people in filling out the paperwork, making sure, you know, that they are assessed for income guidelines, because a lot of times they might qualify for programs, but if they're not aware of it, then they don't even, you know, go forward. So our job is to try to kind of find
those. And the other thing I think is, you know, if you work at one of these food pantries and you talk to people like Nadine and I do, and you meet someone who just came back from Social Security, they tried to sign up for supplemental security income to get a little cash, and where I'm here today at this food pantry, but until I get my SSI check, do you know of any other places I can go to get help? So we tell them about Bag in Hand Food Pantry on Opecos Trail.
So I'm sure a lot of this is about outreach, which is partly why you're here as well. But elder people are not as connected as everybody else. They don't have internet access. So how do you get the word out? How do you let people know that a lot of these things exist for them? Because I think more and more this is just really going to become difficult in this country.
Well, what we do is, as coordinators, we go out throughout the whole state of New Mexico. So, like yesterday I was in Santa Rosa. Sometimes I'll be in Taos, Wagon Mound, Mora. I'm just all over the place. But not only that, we do a lot of advertising, and then we have people like Stan who volunteer. So, you know, there's only so much we can do, but with our volunteers, we get to, you know, go out and reach other areas. And so it's just a matter of getting the information to churches. We advertise the radio station. We do billboards, commercials, just here, there, and everywhere. Tell neighbor, word of mouth.
and I think it's important for the listening audience to know that if you're a 40 or 50-year-old son or daughter, that these resources are available. Maybe your parents aren't able to access these numbers and get online, but you know, as the son and daughters and relatives, they need to know about these resources because it's an 800 number away for help.
Well, I was going to say that so many people here depend on their caretakers, and caretakers very often have had to leave their own jobs and then don't really qualify as caretakers and can get paid. So how can people who are doing that, do they get resources here? Do they qualify for the same amount, or is it only the elder person?
It's the elder person. Yeah, and that is unfortunate. I mean, because there are programs such as the waivers, the Colts waiver that can assist with care. But a lot of it ultimately does fall down to private pay. So it's something that, you know, is the truth. It's the reality. And that's why whatever programs there are, they try to be assessed to see if they qualify. If not, it does come out of private pay. And that is unfortunate, but it is.
Well, especially in this economic situation, not many people can afford to leave their jobs to care for their loved ones.
And they're often living in other cities and other states. So that's why, you know, each state has a Department of Aging and some resource center information to help people across state lines, or helping someone whose parents live in Las Cruces and they're in northern New Mexico.
Now, you had mentioned that the government here had put a lot of money into building different senior centers or community centers, regardless of the name. Tell us a little bit about that, because it sounds like we have quite a few.
Well, I think there's about 300 senior centers in New Mexico, and every general election, there's a question on the ballot, general obligation bond, to help capital outlay. That's help senior programs get new buildings, and it's build senior centers and infrastructure. And that's unique. I think not other states have that ballot question every general election. And they always pass, or they have in the past, knock on wood. So that's an additional resource to help provide programs to seniors.
And this is a place where people can go and get a free hot meal. Is this correct?
Yes. Well, if you're 60 and older under the Older Americans Act, or maybe even younger, I'm not sure, maybe.
Yeah. It varies from place to place. Sometimes it's 55, unless you have a spouse that is 60.
Yeah, and they ask for, the regulations are they ask for a donation. You don't have to give anything. You can, but it's not a set price.
And they also have a good Meals on Wheels program. So for the people that cannot come out into the communities, they are delivered a hot meal Monday through Friday. And then sometimes they will give a frozen meal to go for the weekend. So, and again, like going back to that, senior centers are really helpful as far as kind of keying in as to who needs help. Because there are people that can't come out, and that is true. So I know what we do is if somebody is home-based, is we can do home visits as well. And that usually comes from the senior centers kind of alerting us that, hey, this person is really in need of services, but they can't leave their home. So then in turn, we can step in and assist, or even a simple phone call and mailing them the paperwork. We try to find ways. But I know there are a lot of, there's a lot of work to be done. But I have to say a lot of people really do care and really do the best that they can on alerting. Proper resources, the proper agency. So it's kind of a lot of word of mouth.
And would you say that you have enough staff to deal with that? I mean, you said one of the biggest challenges was the lack of resources. I mean, do we have enough here in New Mexico to deal with this population?
I think we could always use more help, and that's why we're always looking for volunteers as well. We do let people know. I know, you know, it is hard to volunteer, but sometimes, like look at Stan today. He set this up. He sets up a lot of programs. He's always at the food pantry.
Yeah.
And we have other volunteers that do that. So if anybody's ever interested, we can certainly use the help, even if it's just getting an application sent to a person, giving the brochure, giving the right phone number, going to maybe their church on a Sunday,
right,
and getting the word out. So I think there's always going to be a lack of people, lack of assistance, but we're always here to try.
And it's so important. I'm speaking today with Nadine Flores and Stan Cooper, both of whom Nadine works. Stan volunteers for the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department in the state. So of all of the stories that you may have encountered here, are there particularly positive ones or also places where you see big holes in terms of the access and the help for old people?
Well, I think there are positive things happening every day, and we don't know what those are. But I think one of the things, I was at a food pantry about a week ago, and it's very low-income, homeless people who are really needy. And, you know, if they can find out where the next resource is that can get them through tomorrow, you know, you feel good about talking to those kind of people and referring them to the Aging and Disability Resource Center in the state. And those stories, you know, and then they word of mouth with other people they know. So I think there are little bits of good things happening, and I'm positive that we can continue doing better work.
Well, thank you both so much. I'm speaking with Nadine Flores and Stan Cooper, who work for the New Mexico Aging and Long-Term Services Department. Can you just quickly repeat the 800 number people can call if they have questions?
Yes, it's 1-800-432-2080.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Zaylee, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.